And now for something completely different.
Welcome. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David today. And I'm glad that you are here joining us on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego. It's been great to be able to fill in for David, and he's getting a super time to get a three-day weekend in, get a little rest, and looking forward to him being back soon. Our number here is toll-free, 866-577-2473. That's toll-free to reach the show, 866-577-2473. And you can reach the show and David Spoon anytime in the following ways. You can always email davidspoon@kprz.com or find his Facebook page by typing in the David Spoon Experience. You can like it, make a comment, share the posts, and spread the good wisdom that he gives out every day. You'll also find David on Twitter at Spoon Experience. I'm glad you're with us today. We're going to have a great afternoon. I'm really looking forward to some of our guests today. We're going to be having some great people in the studio. Dr. Mark Newman is one of those that's going to be here today. If you have been anywhere involved in the pregnancy crisis counseling and pregnancy resource centers, you probably know Dr. Mark Newman. Mark is a frequent speaker and has been training people in the pro-life movement how to be a good communicator, how to be persuasive. We're going to get some inside tips from him just about involvement in persuasion. And you are involved, by the way, in debate every day. I don't know if you're watching the presidential debates. Some people think that's what debating is. It happens only when you're on stage and there's moderators. But I think if you kind of pause a little bit, you probably realize that you're involved in debating all the time. In fact, on my drive in this morning, I was listening to the KPRZ Family Life Conference, and the discussions there turned to discussions that you have with teenage children. And, you know, you are on a debate stage when they begin to say something to you like, well, why do I have to do that? You're telling them what you want them to do, and they begin to say to you, well, why? Why? And you then become the person that needs to be persuasive. So we're going to be talking to Mark about that. He's launching a new website on how to preach. And so we're looking forward, because preaching is really the craftsmanship of taking the God's word, the Bible, the knowledge of God, and making it persuasive to people. So we're looking forward to Mark. We're also going to be having some students from the San Diego Christian College Vision, the music and drama missions team from San Diego Christian College. They're going to be with us this afternoon as well. So I really want you to hang around, spend some time with us. I don't know what's going on in your life. On the drive down, my thermometer was between 90 degrees. Yes, that's right. If you're listening to us from someplace like Lindstrom, Minnesota, I have a lot of friends back there. Just for you San Diegans to understand the difference, we're at about 80 degrees, 85, 90 degrees today. Lindstrom, Minnesota is at 18. That's like a 1-8. And their Wednesday temperature, their low is going to be -4. Now, I know San Diegans are thinking, what does that word negative mean in front of the 4? We don't even have temperatures as low as a single digit. But that negative means that it's below zero. So pretty cold back there. I'm going to be in Edmonton, that's Alberta. They're in about the 30 degrees this time of year, and I'm headed up there for Missions Fest. That's a great activity where a whole lot of people that are very concerned about expanding the gospel ministry and getting missions out and around the world are going to gather. So I'm going to be at Missions Fest in mid-February here, and chances are it will be snowing there when I'm there. So I'm going to have to pull my parka out from the attic where it's stored away in a box and take it with me. But today, if you're in San Diego, I'm looking out the window right now at totally blue skies and having a great, great day. I don't know how many of you know that yesterday was the Super Bowl. Now, I say that because about 114 million people watched the Super Bowl yesterday. But there are about 7 billion or a little more than 7 billion people in the world. I was with my wife doing some gardening. She loves to garden. And so we headed out between church and before the Super Bowl party started, and she was going to let me go see the Super Bowl, and I took her to the garden store so that we could let her buy some vegetables, because you can start planting vegetables right now in San Diego. That's amazing, in February. But we can plant. And so we were at the store, the garden store, and there were, I noticed, quite a few ladies in there shopping, and a couple of ladies were there without their husbands, because their husbands were headed to a Super Bowl party. And you don't always realize just how cloistered some people are, but they were talking with the garden worker about the Super Bowl, and the garden lady that was there said, well, who's playing in it? Did the Lakers make it? Now, I turned around at first. I thought, oh, man, she's pulling our leg. Nope, I said to her, I think the Lakers are in a different sport. Oh, she said, oh, Lakers are kind of the only team name I know. So she just figured if anybody was going to be there, the Lakers would be there. But nope, I didn't see the Lakers yesterday, but it was a fun game. I don't know who you were rooting for, but the team that scored the most points won. And that's usually the way it works. So very, very glad for that. Hey, here's a public service announcement. Because we're coming up this next weekend on Valentine's Day. So just wanted to get that word out there for you. I know some guys are, they're kind of challenged on that whole Valentine's Day and remembering dates and things like that. So this is just a heads up. You have almost an entire week to prepare for this, guys. And ladies, here's a clue. You know, if your husband or your boyfriend, if your guy is, if he's just kind of, you know, date challenged, not really quite clear on the whole romance thing and all that, just signal it, okay? Don't sit back and say, I'm going to let him remember all the dates. It's just not going to work that way, because a lot of guys, you know, that portion of the brain is just not wired the same way. I had a friend one time in our younger years. He was just the first year into marriage, and he decided, you know, I'm not going to forget any of those important dates. And so he went down to the florist shop with a list of dates, you know, the anniversary, the birth dates and all that. And he handed over his credit card and said, I want to make sure on these dates you get a good bouquet of flowers to my wife. And that sounded like a great idea until the day on their anniversary, he walked in from work, saw a beautiful bouquet of flowers on the dining room table and said, wow, those are nice. Who sent them? Oh, well, that was the end of that great plan. So if you are thinking about Valentine's Day and all those kinds of things, ladies, just signal very clearly to your husbands what's coming up, and he'll be able to know what to get you. And so those are just a few of the public service announcements that we've got going on here. I am the director of whitefields.org. You can go to our website at whitefields.org and see the ministry that we do there. We support national church planters that are planting churches in very hard-to-reach areas. We just posted a new blog about the weak are made strong. It's really talking about the children's ministry. It's amazing what God does in the life of a child. You should read the testimony of a little five-year-old girl that was a tremendous witness. She had placed her faith in Jesus Christ. And we need to make sure that we do not underestimate what God can do through the life of a child. They might be young, they might be small, but the wonderful Bible song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So, little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. And you read that encouraging blog at our whitefields.org website, and you'll see how God can really use children. It's great. Child Evangelism Fellowship is a neat ministry right here in San Diego. They run the Story Castle down at the San Diego Fair at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. I always like to engage with CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship, because they are making a big difference in the lives of children all around the world. And we're hosting some CEF training for some of our church pastors. One of our pastors, Onesimus, over in Uganda, had over 1,000 children that arrived at their church for their vacation Bible school program. You can imagine how important that is to have teachers that are trained, and that's a part of what our ministry tries to do. We try to bring together the people that can help train and that can provide the services for children, teachers, so that they can share the gospel in a very important way. So I don't know what your activities are today, whether you're out driving around or whether you are just sitting at home. My dad loved KPRZ radio when he was living. He spent his last 10 years living in our home with us. And there was two basic entertainment things that he loved to do. One was listen to KPRZ radio. He would turn it on early in the morning, catch all of the preaching shows throughout the morning and the day. The only thing, other thing that he really loved to do, and that was to watch baseball. So K-Praise and baseball pretty much took care of my dad. He had a great time listening. So I don't know whether you're sitting at home in your rocking chair, whether you are out driving around. I'm sure if you are driving, there's some traffic somewhere. It didn't seem all that bad on my drive down, so hopefully it stays very calm and mellow on this Monday. But we are glad that you're listening, and super to be with us. You know, one of the things that I wanted to share with you today was one of the stories of Martha and Mary. Remember Mary and Martha? They were two ladies in the Bible, and we find their first encounter with Jesus in Luke chapter 10, and that was when Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to Jesus and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." And we see a little sister feud going on right there. But, you know, I think Martha kind of gets a bad rap in that story. And we're going to be sharing this morning, just this afternoon, just a little bit. We're going to share about Martha and that story of how she kind of gets a bad rap in Luke chapter 10. Because, you know, we need to think about what it is that people are doing and how they're affected by the serving that they do and the communion that they have with our Lord. And a lot of times I've heard sermons that are preached, and it sounds like Mary is the hero of that story because she was sitting at Jesus' feet. And yet, when we come back from the break, we're going to be thinking a little bit about this story because I think Martha kind of gets the bad rap in Luke 10. So hang with us, because when we come back, we're going to be listening to that story just a little bit more and see if we can't find something out. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego, California. When we come back, we're going to look a little bit more at the story of Mary and Martha. Don't go anywhere. You don't have to worry, cause baby, there
ain't no mountain high enough. From the San Diego studios of K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ, this is the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome aboard the David Spoon Experience, sponsored by the USS Midway Family Ministry Overnight Programs. For reservations, visit midway.org.
It's hard enough to deal with an unexpected plumbing issue, let alone all the time and expense to get the job done right. Well, look no further. From leaky faucets to repiping the entire house, Katie, the little plumber girl, the owner and the operator of Fluid Plumbing, has got you covered. Katie has been in the residential and commercial plumbing business for over 10 years. No job is too big or too small. The little plumber girl serving North County offers reasonable prices on all of your plumbing needs, including 24/7 emergency service. Call Katie at 760-650-5479 or go to littleplumbergirl.com for your next plumbing job and ask about her good neighbor discount. For honesty, integrity, and a great value, call Katie, the little plumber girl, at 760-650-5479 or go to littleplumbergirl.com.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. No catchy radio jingle here, just me asking for the opportunity to earn your business. I've been a top-selling realtor here in San Diego for over two decades, having sold homes all over the county. I'll give 25% of my commission back to a ministry of your choice. I've already given thousands to Turning Point, San Diego Rescue Mission, and Samaritan's Purse, just to name a few. I'll even front any home fix-up costs at no charge to you. As a former Muslim and now Christian, I put God first personally and professionally. If you or someone you know is considering buying or selling a home, just meet with me. You have nothing to lose. I'll even share my testimony and give you a copy of my book. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM. That's 858-780-1SAM. Or visit me online for all your real estate needs, thinksam.com. That's thinksam.com. God bless.
This is John MacArthur welcoming you to Portraits of Grace. David was a man after God's own heart. In Psalm 63:1, he writes, "O God, thou art my God. I shall seek thee earnestly. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh yearns for thee in a dry and weary land where there is no water." You see, David sought God like a desperately thirsty man seeks water. His zeal for God illustrates what Jesus meant when he said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." That's the intense desire that every believer should have to be more like our blessed Savior, more righteous. Does your desire for righteousness drive you to Christ for satisfaction? I pray that it does. This is John MacArthur, hoping you'll join me again for Portraits of Grace.
I read about a guy at a baseball game who yelled at the ump, calling him as visually impaired as a small, black, nocturnal flying mammal. Is baseball still baseball if we can't say the ump is as blind as you know what? Okay, maybe we shouldn't call the ump a bat, but maybe we shouldn't get too upset when someone does. When people say and do things that aren't totally appropriate, I suggest that we extend to them the same grace God extends to us when we do the same. God's not uptight. He's gracious and good and forgiving, just like we ought to be. This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life and discover God's grace on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com and get your roadmap for life. Route 66, start your journey home today.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience, and thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David today. You can find our ministry at whitefields.org. We support national pastors starting new churches in their own countries, oftentimes closed in dark places or places that do not allow free access to North Americans to come in and preach the gospel. And so that ministry is a big part of what we do, coming alongside missionaries and helping them in that ministry. Now, the last segment, we were talking about Martha, and you're probably familiar with Martha in that story in Luke chapter 10, when she was distracted with much serving. Some of you, maybe you ladies, you were having a Super Bowl party yesterday, and maybe you're still cleaning up the house today, so this story might be for you. Because Martha was working. She had Jesus and all the disciples. It was a big crowd that had showed up at her house. She wanted to do a good job. So she was serving and she was preparing. And Mary, you recall, was just sitting at the feet of Jesus. Mary was more emotive. She's more one of those people that just loved the communion with Jesus. She was sitting at his feet listening to him. But Martha came up to Jesus and she said, "Don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" Kind of the same thing that the disciples said to Jesus when they were on the boat. And they said, "Don't you care that that we're drowning, that we could drown, that we could die?" It's kind of a strange thing when someone asks Jesus whether he cares. Of course he cares. But I think sometimes Martha gets the bad rap here in Luke 10. Because although she's doing a good thing, serving Jesus and the disciples, she's not rebuked for doing the serving, but she's rebuked for being anxious and coming and complaining about Mary, because Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And at this point, Mary is commended for choosing the good thing. That was to have communion with Jesus. It doesn't do us any good if we're serving and we're complaining and grumbling under our breath about everything that we're having to do for the people of the Lord, his servants, his people, and I'm serving them. That's not the right way to serve. But something happens later on in the life of Martha and Mary. They had a brother. Their brother's name was Lazarus, and you probably know the story of Lazarus. It's found in John chapter 11. Lazarus became sick. Word got to Jesus that Lazarus was sick, but Jesus did not come right away back to Bethany, and Lazarus died. After Lazarus died, then Jesus came. And when he was coming, we find out in the 11th chapter of John's Gospel that when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, because the whole crowd, all the Jews had come to console them concerning their brother, and when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary, remember the one who was sitting at Jesus' feet, who was so endowed with his greatness and was sitting there listening to him, Mary remained seated in the house. She didn't go. Martha came out, she meets Jesus, and she says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus tells her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection." So Martha was a believer, and she believed there was going to be a resurrection. On the last day, she's expecting that to happen. But Jesus said to her, and here's where I really think this story gets really good. He says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he asks Martha this. Now remember, Martha was the one that got rebuked in the last time. She was the one serving, got anxious, got distracted, wasn't paying attention to Jesus. She was just trying to serve all the food. Jesus says to her, "Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." That is an amazing revelation on her part, that God has revealed to Martha that Jesus was the Christ, that means the Savior, the word for the Messiah there, the Savior, the Son of God, and that he was deity. So here, Martha is rewarded for coming to greet Jesus. By the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit, she proclaims that Jesus is the Christ. That puts Martha kind of in the position of being the one who's really being endearing to Jesus, and it's kind of like sitting at his feet now. Well, you know, another encounter happens with Mary and Martha a little bit later on. Jesus is on his way back from, he's actually on his way to Jerusalem. He's getting ready to enter the final week of his life. We call that the Passion Week. And right before he has that triumphal entry, he stops outside of Jerusalem at Bethany. And he is at the home, once again, of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And at this point, Mary anoints Jesus' feet with costly perfume, acknowledging that she has heard and knows that Jesus will be crucified. That's what Jesus says that anointing by Mary does. He calls it the preparation for his burial. That's right before Jesus enters Jerusalem for that final Passover. But something else happens. Martha served. Yep, she's serving. Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary took a pound of expensive ointment. She does the anointing, but Martha is doing the serving. But you know what's not happening this time? Martha's not complaining about what Mary's doing. Martha's totally fine with her sister opening this costly perfume. Someone else, by the way, if you go read that in John's Gospel, you'll find out that Judas complains about it. And as I began to read this, I wondered what happened to these two ladies between that first dinner where Mary's just sitting there and Martha's complaining about it, and now they're both doing similar things, but neither of them are rebuked. And if you consider what happened, well, they've both encountered the powerful Son of God in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. They have experienced the resurrection power of Jesus. Now Martha serves, Mary anoints. They both still have the same personalities. They're both still doing the things that come naturally to them, but they're doing them now both in the right attitudes and the right ways. It kind of reminds me that we're all members of the body. Each one of us has a different gift. Each one of us has a different personality. And God can use those personalities, He can use those giftedness to cause His church to grow and to build up one another. Some of us are servers. We're organized people and logical, and we put things in order, and we want to have things all lined up and have them all done in the right way. Others of us might be more emotive, more passionate. We're more concerned with saying the things of I love Jesus and I love God, and our driving force is more comes from our emotions. But the reality is we should let each other be who we are, and at times we're going to need someone like a Martha who thinks rationally and logically about Jesus and goes out and meets him after her brother has died. Sometimes we need someone more like a Mary who just sort of builds our faith and lets us know, hey, we can trust God. He's good for us, and we can do that. What we need to do is fulfill our own stewardship and not be anxious about how others are showing their love for the Savior. We might have someone at church that does a lot of work at the church. We don't want to go criticize them and say that they're doing all that work and all that serving just so that God likes them. No, maybe that's just the way they show God that they know Him. Others might be more emotive and they want to spend more time just on their knees in prayer and in faith, and they're just more emotional about their love for the Lord. It's like Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. And then he goes on a little bit later in that chapter to say the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, I always thought that was kind of a funny analogy growing up. I always thought, yeah, right, I don't want to be the foot. They don't smell so good. Well, you know, God needs a foot in His body. God also needs an eye, and He needs somebody to be the mouth, and He needs somebody else to be the logical, coordinated one who cleans up after the Super Bowl. He needs somebody else to be the emotive one that really just kind of gets in there and gets everybody excited and can make things happen. And so what we need to do is look at the whole body, not as though one of us is an ear and I'm better than you, that one of us has a sense of smell. But as it is, God has arranged all the members in the body, each and every one of them, just as He chose. So I don't know whether you are a more logical, organized, procedural person, or whether you're more on the emotive side that just wants to praise God and say hallelujah. But I want you to know God has put you in the position that you're in to be the kind of person that He wants you to be. So just fulfill your stewardship and be a part of the body of Jesus Christ, building up one another and fulfilling all that you can be. Don't go anywhere, because I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields. I'm sitting in here for David, and my friend Mark Newman, Dr. Mark Newman, is here in the studio. He's going to be right with us. We're going to be talking about how you can become a more persuasive person in your debating skills. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Chris George, General Manager of Subaru Mazda of El Cajon. Tell us about the Subaru Mazda of El Cajon customer experience.
When you come to the dealership, you know, it's like welcoming somebody into your home. We're going to offer you some coffee or some water. You want the place clean. I want the men to open doors for women. That's how I teach my boys, and that's what I do for my wife. That's our goal, is to develop a relationship with people. You get to know who we are by the people you meet.
Go to Subaru Mazda of El Cajon today and get a free tire rotation, brake inspection, and alignment quick check.
If you wonder whether men and women are different, just listen to the way they view romance.
This is Real Family Life with Dennis Rainey for Monday, February 8th. We talked with one husband and wife about what they consider romantic.
Rubbing poor tired feet with lotion.
The things that I find romantic are those things that my wife finds to be romantic.
I mean, cute is romantic to him.
The computer is romantic to him? I've found that men and women often view romance through different lenses. If you ask a group of men what they consider romantic, you'll likely get answers that focus on the physical side of intimacy, such as a nice nightgown for their wife. If you ask a group of women what they consider romantic, what kind of responses are you likely to hear? Well, they'll say, spend time talking to me. Sit in front of the fire and cuddle. Generally, men tend to be motivated by sight and touch, while women want the focus to be on the relational aspects of the marriage relationship. One final thought. Take a moment and ask your spouse, what do you find romantic? How can I make you feel special? But don't stop there. Why don't you consider following through and make your spouse's romantic wishes a reality? I'm Dennis Rainey, and that's Real Family Life.
A St. Paul, Minnesota elementary school has scrapped celebrations of Valentine's Day, Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas in the name of diversity. This is Truth Itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. Principal Scott Massini of Bruce Vento Elementary School wrote in a letter to parents, "My personal feeling is we need to find a way to honor and engage in holidays that are inclusive of our student population." He acknowledged that banning the dominant holidays would be an unpopular move. But the decision is in line with the school board policies made in 2008 to discourage festivities outside federal holidays, which are acknowledged by law. Massini, who has served as the principal since 2013, was concerned that the celebrations may be encroaching on the educational opportunities of others and threatening the culture of tolerance and respect for all. The school's website shows the student population is roughly 63% Asian, 24% Black, 10% Hispanic, and 4% Caucasian. The Star Tribune reported the school letter was shared on the invite-only Facebook page. Parents left comments calling the move totally ridiculous and very sad. The principal's holiday ban is just the latest in a changing tide in schools across the nation. Many schools in New Jersey, Connecticut, and Pennsylvania have already prohibited Halloween, while others are in favor of generic seasonal celebrations like the fall harvest. Are you looking for affordable health care, maybe even health care that follows your biblical principles? Then you'll want to find out more about MediShare. MediShare is health care reform for Christians. MediShare is Christians helping Christians with their health care costs. And since 1993, more than $1 billion in medical expenses have been shared or discounted. MediShare is not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience, and thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego. The crazy and always wonderful David Spoon is out for a break today, and I'm Stephen Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David. You can find our ministry at whitefields.org. You can always reach David Spoon at davidspoon@kprz, and you should definitely drop him an encouraging note. If you haven't read his book yet, I'd encourage you to read it. He has a great testimony, phenomenal story of how God went out and got a hold of him and redeemed him and brought him to faith in Jesus Christ. And so you definitely want to catch his testimony. But right now, we've got Dr. Mark Newman in the studio. Mark is a good friend, so we're just going to call him Mark. I don't want you to be intimidated. Mark, it's good to have you with us, even though you have a PhD.
Well, that works for me. I'll call you Steve.
Excellent. You call me Steve, I'll call you Mark. And I've had a good friendship with Mark over the years, and I'm excited to have him in the studio because Mark has been a debate coach and a debate professor at a number of distinguished universities. But I always believe that we use debate far more in our daily lives than people really give us credit for. Is that true? You think that nature of people debating other people?
Well, yeah. I mean, the problem is when you hear the word argument, people tend to think about that in negative terms. right? You have an argument means you're yelling and screaming at somebody.
Yes.
The fact of the matter is we all make arguments all day long. Every time you're trying to convince somebody to do anything, you're engaging in argument.
I was listening to the radio on the way down, and they were talking about conversations with our teenage kids. And I thought, sure, how many parents have been asked that question? Well, why do I have to do that? And the parent responds, because I said so. Is that a good argument, a good persuasive debate technique?
I would be lying if I said I never, ever said that.
Right, okay.
One of the difficult aspects of having my kids grow up around intercollegiate forensics, which is intercollegiate speech and debate competition, is that they're both really good arguers now, and so they give me a run for my money.
That's right. So if you raise your kids up to be good debaters, then you have to be even better than they are. So that's
only if you want to win.
Only if you want to win. And that is our goal, isn't it?
No. The goal is the truth, right, Steve?
That's absolutely true. That's the first thing that we really want to aim for. And a part of what we want to introduce here, Mark has just launched a new website called How to Preach. And that's very close to my heart because I train pastors all over the world. And a part of the responsibility of a pastor, at least, and really I'm going to take this a step farther than that, because every member of the church should be involved in persuading other people, right?
Absolutely.
Yes. And so start with me in terms of just maybe how to build a persuasive argument. If I were a non-believer and an atheist and I were to say to you, I don't believe in God, would you then call me crazy and tell me that, of course, there's a God and I'll prove it? Or how would you start that conversation?
No, I think it's always best to find out exactly why people believe what they believe. So I think always a good argumentation is going to start with what I would call audience analysis. And on an interpersonal level, what that requires is for you to find out why people believe what they believe. So when people say, I'm an atheist, you would ask, well, why?
And so they might say, you actually begin with a question.
Certainly. Well, you want to get information, because if I provide you with an answer that is not persuasive to you based on the things that you believe, it's not going to be a persuasive answer for you. But if we can both agree, for example, that in order to have a discussion about God, we have to first have a discussion about whether or not there is something beyond the material world. Mm-hmm. And if I discover that the person I'm talking to believes that the only thing that exists is the material world, that they're a scientific materialist, then we have to start there, right? And determine whether or not scientific materialism actually accounts for life as they experience it.
That's right. That might be like where Bill Nye and Ken Ham were having an argument or a debate. We have that same kind of debate in a coffee shop, right? Person with us.
Absolutely. I think Greg Bahnsen does a really good job exploring the concept of worldviews. People have the idea that only Christians have worldviews.
Right.
No. Everybody has
Everybody
worldviews.
Everybody does, certainly. And we're going to engage those people, and the idea is that we want to be persuasive. I think it's even important, and you show in your website, howtopreach.com, which is where you'll find this new preaching. It's a systematic study system, like a college class that a pastor can take. Because in that, a pastor needs to learn more about his congregation when he's preaching as well, doesn't he?
Absolutely. That's why the first segment in the entire program is on congregational analysis. You know, people forget sometimes when they read through the scriptures, especially if they attend a church where all of the teaching is expository, in other words, they're just going verse by verse through books of the Bible, that when the Apostle Paul went to the Corinthians and talked with them about idolatry, or when the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians and talked with them about legalism, no one ever stops to think, how did Paul know that the Galatians were struggling with legalism? Those books are addressed to real world problems that those churches were having then. Fortunately, those problems tend to be pretty universal. I don't know if that's fortunate, but for us as preachers,
sadly enough, same problems. But that's because the Holy Spirit, in His divine power, knew that these are the things the church is going to struggle with. But I often hear a phrase we use where we're preaching to the choir.
Yes.
That would be a big mistake if a pastor thinks he's preaching to the choir, although maybe the choir needs a lot of preaching. Some of the choirs I was in. But that phrase kind of means that we assume everybody agrees with us.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes do pastors do that? Have you experienced that?
Well, I think that when we talk about preaching to the choir, I do think that sometimes we preach messages that perhaps our Our people don't necessarily need to hear, or they certainly need to hear another message much more than they need to hear the message we're currently preaching.
Uh-huh.
So the way that we find, we have to do the research necessary to find out where are the problem areas in our congregation that need addressing. Because the whole idea of giving a sermon on Sunday mornings is not to give somebody something. It's not to give somebody something. It's to get something from them.
Right.
What we're looking for is for God to use the pastor through the power of the Holy Spirit to transform the people in his congregation into the image of Christ. And we're going to focus more, I think, on the issues that people have and not focus so much on areas where they don't have an issue, which is why I find it funny. You'll talk to people and say, what are the top, I want to preach a sermon series on the top 10 hot button issues in the church. And somebody will say things like, well, the New Age movement.
Right.
And then I'm looking around, you know, at a congregation with 100 people, and you're wondering how many of them are really whipping out that Ouija board every evening.
That's right. Yes.
I'm going to guess no. And so it's interesting. I talked with a pastor's wife, and she indicated to me, no, that's not a hot button issue. What a real hot button issue is backbiting.
Oh, right.
But that, right, when we preach about topics that are tender amongst our congregation, that's, I mean, that's where the focus needs to be, is where the problems really are, not on things that are not an issue. The problem is it's a lot easier to preach sermons on issues your congregation doesn't have,
because
you're not going to get cards and letters after that. You're just going to get them saying, you know, right on, Pastor, you really stuck it to who?
Yes.
Them, not us.
It's always that pointing finger kind of thing where you're pointing at the other person. So the beginning segment in the howtopreach.com, that training, really teaches a pastor how to poll and learn from his congregation. And something's very important with that. It doesn't mean that you stay away from topics or that you preach to your people. You actually need to do that so that you find out which of them disagree with you about something, don't really agree with you, so that you know how to formulate a persuasive comment. We got just about a minute left in this segment, but how does a member of the congregation, some of our people that are members, how do they help a pastor in that process?
Very delicately.
Very delicately,
yes.
Okay. Do not hammer him on the way out the door. But it would be good for people to talk to the pastor about the contents of a sermon, right? Say, this is what I didn't understand, or how can what we believe or what we do to what we practice?
I think always questions that require clarification are always good questions. They don't seem combative. They don't seem hostile.
Mm-hmm.
Pastors really need the support of their congregations. They work very hard. And oftentimes without remotely the kind of recognition that they deserve. But I think all pastors would love it if a congregant would walk up and ask a question that would help them to clarify the things that they've said. It's hard to imagine, but believe it or not, sometimes people hear you the wrong way.
That's
and you'll
right.
find that they walk out the door and do something you had no intention of doing because the sermon lacked clarity.
Right. So that's one way that people could help their pastor, by talking to him, asking questions to clarify things, and that if a pastor is listening, he's going to learn things from his congregation about what they're really thinking, what they're hearing, how they perceive what he's doing.
That's one way.
That's great. Hey, we're going to be right back. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David Spoon. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego. Don't go anywhere. We're with Dr. Mark Newman. He's got a PhD in communications, and he's going to help us all to be better communicators. I hope you will stick around with us.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time again for that part of the show. Let's talk about what's bugging me. Brought to you by Ecola Termite and Pest Control. Powerful termite and pest control, as gentle as a butterfly. You know what's bugging me? I want to tell you what's bugging me right now. You know what's really bugging me? I gotta say, that's the thing that's bugging me right there. There's no way to get around it, and I can do nothing about it. I know you feel the exact same way, and that's why that's bugging me. That's Bugging Me, brought to you by Ecola Termite and Pest Control. Powerful termite and pest control, as gentle as a butterfly.
Hello to all you parents out there who are looking to enroll your children for the 2016-17 school year. Hi, I'm Coach Rogers.
And I'm Francine Good, and we're here to tell you Maranatha Christian Schools is opening our doors on Thursday, February 11th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m.
The night will be divided into three events, and to kick off the evening, we'll have a general session in the gym.
Elementary parents, come see what makes our program an innovative educational experience that challenges students both academically and spiritually.
Junior high parents, join us for an overview of the academic courses used to challenge our students' intellect.
High school parents, come hear about our curriculum, our CIF athletics, and dynamic performing arts programs as we prepare your students to graduate equipped for college and ready for life.
We look forward to seeing you at Maranatha Christian Schools on Thursday, February 11th.
To find out more, go to maranathachristianschools.org. That's maranathachristianschools.org.
The statistics on death are quite impressive. One out of one dies. Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. Since life is so compacted into this small sphere of existence called time, doesn't it make sense that we live it as it was meant to be lived? Really lived? Listen, there was a very cautious man who never laughed or played. He never risked. He never tried. He never sang or prayed. And when he one day passed away, his insurance was denied. For since he never really lived, they claimed he never died. What a waste. My friend, let's choose to live. Really live.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
CrunchCare is now offering half price on club memberships and date night bookings. CrunchCare provides custom solutions when you're looking for a babysitter, nanny, special needs nanny, baby nurse, housekeeper, household assistant, or a caregiver. CrunchCare Recruiting Services is now available on crazypricemall.com to offer you half price to their services. Don't miss this opportunity to take advantage of this great deal. Go to crazypricemall.com to get yours today.
Local, national, and heavenly talk for San Diego on the David Spoon Experience from K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience, and I want to thank you for joining us here. We are in the middle of a discussion with Dr. Mark Newman. Mark is just launched a website called howtopreach.com. That's H-O-W-T-O. Preach, P-R-E-A-C-H, just to prove that I can spell. How to preach. You know, it bugs me when people put the number in there. You know, it's how and the number two.
Yeah, we're not that hip.
We're not that. Okay. So how to preach. You know, it's very interesting. Mark, I want to ask you, why do you need a website like this? Aren't there seminaries to do this? I mean, why did you go out as a communications professor, a godly Christian man, by the way, too, who's been training pro-life people to communicate? Why did you feel the need to develop a website and a training course called How to Preach?
Well, for starters, I didn't. What okay. happened was some friends of mine who had been with a large Christian firm that had been doing a lot of church work were exceedingly alarmed by the statistics that were coming out from the research that they were doing. Mm. We start discovering that 32% of church plants fail. We discovered that 35 to 40% of pastors leave the ministry, most of them around about the five-year mark. Mm. Sounds some other very interesting research that showed that pastors, the longer they're in the pulpit, the worse they think they are at preaching. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but right. I think, you know, a guy comes out of seminary, his brain is filled with knowledge. That's he can come out and data dump for about 5 years maybe, but I think once he starts to see maybe that the changes in his congregation aren't occurring, starts to rethink his abilities.
In other words, some guys come out, and I went to seminary. I've got an MDiv degree. I've been in THM, Masters of Theology classes. I sat through a couple of homiletics classes. I'm not going to say my homiletics teachers, but I've seen some homiletics classes that were taught by extremely poor communicators. In other words, they knew how to do data dump. They knew how to give you knowledge, but they weren't persuasive. And if you're a church planter and you're starting a new church and you can't persuade people to change their life and get involved, then you're going to have struggles.
And so, absolutely.
So how to preach becomes a tool to help pastors learn how to be persuasive. In regards to that, how do you do that? Are certain people good communicators and others not, or can someone learn?
Everyone can learn. I've told people all of my life, public speaking is a skill. It's a learned skill, and anyone can learn.
So it's like riding a bike.
Well, sort of.
Sort of. Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
But what happens when we have pastors is these people, they feel called into the ministry, and that's awesome. And they've got a heart for God, and they are passionate about what they're doing. They maybe are outstanding counselors. They have all of these skill sets, and it's easy to pick up the skill set of, it's easier, I think, to pick up the skill set of counseling, because there's all kinds of interpersonal things that happen between people all the time. So you get a chance to practice talking to people. You don't get an opportunity to speak in front of lots of people all at once. You can't just walk into a crowd and say, excuse me, would you 400 or 500 people gather together and let me address you? That takes practice, and that takes training, and
so
that is what
really
we provide.
So it really becomes a craft to develop a sermon that actually becomes persuasive and can actually lead people into changing their mind and changing their actions, right?
Absolutely, and there are many facets to making that happen. And so our job at How to Preach is to try to lead people into that by beginning, by helping them to understand their congregation, by helping them to organize a sermon properly. Mm. One of the biggest reasons people can't remember sermons when they walk out of a church is that it was just poorly organized. They can't carry it well.
So people could remember the sermon better and put it into practice better if the sermon was organized in a way that they can walk out the door with that. We're going to come back with Mark Newman because there's a lot to explore with this. And we're going to learn something. I want you to learn about his moving technique, how to craft a sermon the way that you would move your house. And so don't go anywhere. You want to come right back. We're going to be back just very soon. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry, sitting in for David. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego, California.
From the San Diego studios of K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ, this is the David Spoon Experience.